Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where you take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about frogging. Colonel, you ever frogged before?
I mean, I frogged in college a couple of times, but I don't like to talk about it.
Yeah. I needed the money.
I did a little bit of frogging.
All right. Well, frogging, as you may know, is the act of a person secretly living in another person's home. The typical frogger, I love it that there's typical froggers. The typical frogger is someone with nowhere else to live.
That makes sense.
They thrive on staying hidden and most likely to be hidden in rarely visited parts of the home, like an attic, a basement, crawl space. Although it sounds like it might be an urban legend, there are actually several cases of frogging that have been reported over the years. It's been actually growing. There's been more and more of this going on. One of the most high-profile cases was when singer George Michael found a stalker who had been living under his floorboards for 4 days back in 2012.
There you go.
Yeah, some lady was living under it, but yeah, so that would be creepy.
Who among us?
We have discussed other famous froggers in this on this podcast, including Brandy's favorite, Otto in the Attic. Remember Otto?
I remember Brandy? Otto.
I do. Yeah.
They made a movie about him later.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. You're just such a jackass.
And then the other episode we did was Spider-Man of Denver. Remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy. You know who wasn't? You know who is known for frogging to me is people from Sri Lanka.
Really?
Yes. Sri Lanka, the average height in Sri Lanka is only 5'4" to me.
For fuck's sake, just keep reading.
Flogging.
No, frogging, not flogging. That's different.
Flogging. Well, okay.
Frogging.
Yeah, Danny just threw me those details out. Just said,
you know, oh, good for Danny. Fuck Danny.
Danny misspelled a word there, Danny. and that threw the colonel off. So
Danny's a jackass.
Well, let's talk about a famous case in Japan.
Well, hold on, let me tell you into etymology. Mm-hmm. I love etymology. So I looked up the etymology of the word frogging, and it's actually pretty straightforward. It's the term used frog, F-R-O-G, from jumping from place to place. So that's how you get this frogging. Now, why it's spelled with a P-H, I don't know, but
it's like fat.
Right, exactly. Like P-H-A-T.
Yeah.
It's unsolicited couch surfing,
yeah. Unauthorized couch surfing.
Unauthorized. All right, let me introduce our wonderful panel. I am pleased to announce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, Timmy, not good.
Oh, no.
It's been, it's been a week of Mercury's in retrograde, and we have a full moon, and it's a super moon, and I work in retail. So let's just say.
Those are not good combinations.
They really aren't. And so last week was a hot mess, but I'm going on vacation next week. The next time that next Sunday when we speak, I will be by the ocean.
Micro Disney World. You're going to be a micro.
I'm not going to Florida.
Where are you going?
You were going to that. You said
I did say five or six times.
Headphone land. And
I don't want to talk to you guys anymore.
Disney World. I'm just trying to figure out your vacation, Brandon.
No, you're not. Okay. I'm going to the Outer Banks. Did anybody not hear that?
No,
the Outer Banks are located in North Carolina.
Well,
I did say it. Anyway.
I don't know why anyone would have their bank on the ocean. I mean, why don't you just use your ATM?
Right.
What the fuck are you even talking about?
Put the banks on land. Why I got to get on a goddamn boat to get to a bank?
I just can't with you all. Introduce Chuck so we can hear his bullshit. Because I got a hard stop at noon.
It feels like we've gone deep into Brandy time already. So
I really love that you both show up on time for shit. So that's amazing. So that's how my day's been. You were not anywhere. You were like, I'm on my way. I'll be there in a minute. And then it takes you like 20 minutes to get to your fucking basement.
You don't realize.
Jesus, suffering Christ. Because we don't. Because we never record at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Because I was frogging down at the nice house down at the end of the street.
You don't realize that my wife will be returning home in a couple days, and the place has to be
clean. Oh, do we have a return date?
I don't.
Nice.
Well, we hope so. But, you know, they can deny her entry, so we're just hoping that doesn't happen. But if it did, it'd give me a few more days to clean.
I mean,
where's she coming through? Because, you know,
CVG.
So they would deny. You could sneak through security there.
She has a 6 month visa, but we don't. There's no like. Yeah, she had to leave because her 6 months was up, right? And okay, so I thought, okay, surely now she, because that 6 month visa lasts for 10 years, so you can come in and out for 6 months at a time, but.
How long are you going to be gone for?
Well, that's
the question. It can be a minimum of like a day, right? I mean, it can be just a day or two, right?
Just go to Canada.
No, it's arbitrary. It's based upon whatever the immigration officer you get says. So we're hoping that she'll be here on Tuesday, but maybe not.
So have you been?
Great.
So they're going to ask you questions like, have you been rehabilitated? You know,
you've
only been gone. How long has she been gone?
3 weeks. Yeah. But so we're hoping she gets in. But yeah, I mean, you know, they could give her the third degree. She's kind of shady. She is kind of shady.
I know, but I feel confident that she can handle herself. Can you introduce Chuck?
She's lived a whole life.
Kind Chuck's of introduced himself.
Getting around beating the system. So
Chuck, you know, she's fake Irish. So
she's an international woman of mystery, Timmy.
She's a real life Carmen Sandiego. That's what she is.
Yeah.
All right. So we have to strategically put our sponsor ad before I introduce Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when everyone starts to pay attention.
Yeah. That's true.
It's Black Cat and Me at
Etsy.com.
Etsy.com. All right. Let me introduce the Colonel. He's a man who is well respected throughout the world. You can even go to like Zimbabwe, and you see, you know, someone walking down a woman walking down the street with a big thing, you know, vase on her head or whatever. And you say, "What do you think about the colonel?" About the colonel, and she said,
"I mean,
I respect him." I respect it.
You know, Timmy, it's funny you mention that because I was a friend of mine decided, you know, they were going to try to descend Everest.
Descend Everest, okay.
The Sherpa there, they're talking a little bit, and they said, where are you from? And they said, well, I'm from America. And they say, America, you know Colonel? Because, you know, people think we all know each other. So, you know, just a strange coincidence that you would say that to me.
Just like they all think we're from Texas.
Yeah, well.
We all say yeehaw.
But I mean, my point is, Brandy, he is well-respected throughout.
I'm glad you got to a point. Sure. Is it a civilized world when somebody's carrying shit and a vase on their head?
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk that over.
Here's what I want to know. Like no, I admire that. I would love to be able to go to the grocery store, get all my shit when I'm unloading a car, put like 3 bags on my head, 2 in my hand, and just walk up to the front door with complete confidence that the eggs and shit on my head are not going to fall. And you know what? That's a skill that's honed over a lifetime.
You know, I was in Vietnam, and I saw this guy riding his moped. On the back, he had his wife. She was holding their daughter. He was driving. There was a dog in front of him with his hands on the steering wheel. And the woman was holding 2 fans. Apparently, they just purchased. And I thought, you know.
These people could.
People
could use a minivan, it sounds like.
I got to ask, Devil, why you got a goddamn seatbelt on your chair?
It's a gaming chair, you fucking rube.
So you decide you might just get too into the game and leap out of it or something? Is it when you lose, it stops you, it gives you a pause?
Because I'm certainly not getting into this podcast right now.
All right. What did I say? Oh, yes. He's an oasis in the desert of despair. You know, we turn to him in these troubled times, Brandy.
No.
The people of Florida, the first thing they contacted the governor, DeSantis contacted Biden. He said, first thing he needed, don't send me money, don't send supplies, send me the colonel.
The man gets it done.
Nobody said that.
They did call me. It's just too
good. Did you get your thigh-high white boots to go muck around in there and see what it was like?
But I did send my thoughts and prayers.
Oh, thank God. That'll make it better. All right. Here's the colonel.
Yeah. I forgot how to do this. He's a man of God, as we all know.
No, what?
Praise
Jesus. No,
Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, nasty. I gotta tell you. Life's been, you know, as Joe Walsh said, life's been good to me so far. So I really have a week of no complaints.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you notice how Brandy whined?
Well, you know, Brandy is a glass, a tequila glass half full kind of girl, you know? And me, I try to, I look at the world, Timmy. I walk
out. It's half empty, jackass.
I'm a man of God. And
you
I
don't
walk
even
out
know what you're saying anymore.
See the
just
street.
So much
see
shit
the trees. See the
blows
birds
out of your face.
And as the famous Louis Armstrong said, and I think to myself, Timmy, what a wonderful world.
That's Colonel, you have a great outlook in life. And I think that's why people are so drawn to you.
It could be. I just like to look at the bright side of life.
It's a big contrast. Colonel.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other night, Timmy, I was I'm walking, and all of a sudden, I got Bo, I got Rudy. We're walking down the street. I feel a big raindrop hit me on the head, and then it starts pouring. Just a downpour. Looked like something happened to Job. You know, just poured. It was like Noah before he had to build the ark. And you know what me and the dogs started doing in the rain, Timmy?
What, Colonel?
We were singing in the rain. Just Singing in the Rain.
Oh, just like, yeah. What's his name?
I have worked 3 musicals into this thing so far.
Today. Yeah.
And you took a long way to get there. So great.
Yeah, well.
All of that punchline sucked.
We're also joined, as always, by our producer, Mad Thad. How are you today, Thad?
I you know what, Tim? It's hard. I feel like Charlie Brill. Charlie Brill was the act that followed the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. So for you to introduce me after the Colonel, I feel very Charlie Brill. Like, how can I possibly follow what the Colonel puts out there?
Colonel, you ever been on the Ed Sullivan Show? Colonel.
What's that, sir?
He's having a Mitch moment. Have you ever been on the Ed Sullivan Show?
I was on there right before the Beatles, Timmy, and it just, you know, there was the flavor of the month, so to speak, Timmy. So, you know, yeah. Some things last. The Colonel lasts. The Beatles, yeah, you know, they were here for a little bit, but, you know.
I mean, they were only together about 4 years or five years, and you're still here.
I'm still together.
Doing a successful podcast.
I have not broken up yet.
You know.
You've not. I do want to mention, though, just real quick.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad day. I was a very big Jimmy Buffett fan. It was sad to see
that Jimmy Buffett died. And Bob Barker, too.
It's been a rough week. It's been a rough week for entertainment.
Did not go over 100.
I know, I saw that joke on Twitter.
Yeah.
Now,
got as close as you can to 100 without going over.
He did not go
Come
over.
On down. Come on down.
Come on down.
But no, other than that, other than losing Jimmy Buffett, I think it's fine. And I think in his honor, we should all, you know, have a margarita and your partner of choosing, we should all get drunk and screw. So let's make that a priority this
week.
Well,
I will do that if you guys promise. One of the members of REO Speedwagon died.
Goddamn right. Goddamn right. A Blue Oyster Cult. You guys are going to be all, you know, nobody hears about them, but no, it's going to be a.
No, oh, I say loss. Guy died.
I know.
The guy that really.
David Coverdale, thank
White,
God.
White Snake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, here I go.
Yeah, I remember White Snake.
That, he wrote that. Yeah, he died.
You know what? You know what I loved about Whitesnake was Tawny Catane. You know, going back and forth across the cars, and she was the craziest woman ever. She's just a perfect example of what men don't care about. You remember she was married to Chuck Finley, beat his ass real good, ended up getting arrested. Married the guy from Whitesnake.
The Mets pitcher?
Well, he was an Angels pitcher first, but...
Angels pitcher.
Yeah,
sorry, yeah.
She got married to him and then just whacked him around real good. And then... Wow.
Beat the shit out of him.
She was crazy as hell, but she was so hot to me that nobody cared.
I bet she's not as hot right now. I bet she's not.
But who doesn't love crazy chicks, though? Yeah. I mean, for real. Who doesn't love crazy chicks?
Loving for her a little bit. Not a lot.
That's right.
It's the crazy hot factor. As I always told my boys, I had to raise 3 boys and I had to give them advice.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, what you're looking for in a girl, Timmy, is obviously hot, right?
Right.
Obviously smart, right? Mm-hmm. And emotionally stable. Now, pick 2 of those, because that's all you're going to get. Pick the 2 that are important to you.
Okay, let's talk about frogging. let's talk about frogging in Japan.
You know,
2008.
Timmy, this surprised me when I was doing my research for this, because I was thinking, what countries are suitable for frogging? And as I said, you know, Sri Lankans. But Japanese people, there's a stereotype, but Japanese people are surprisingly tall, Timmy.
You know what? They also are surprisingly old.
They are. It's,
I mean,
it's the diet they live on.
No. I mean, they're dying off.
Oh, yes, they are. They're dying off at a great.
Yeah.
As people are wont to do it, you know. people die. But yeah, the average age for a man in Japan is 5'8". So
that's age.
That's his average age.
Huh? That makes
How
sense.
Old are you? I'm 5'8".
I'm sorry. The average height for a man in Japan
is Mitchin again. He's Mitchin again.
I'm going, well, now, see, I would fit in well. I'm 5'6", so I would fit in well in Japan.
You'd be a giant among men, Dad.
I might be.
When I looked into this research, the only
they walk on your back in Japan.
The only thing
with your permission.
Okay.
Made me happy is that on average, Americans are taller than Canadians. We're not taller than Germans, but we're taller than Canadians.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that, and importantly, on average, men from Denmark have the largest penises?
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
That's a stat that you can look up and take.
I'm not buying that.
That's where you get the word Great Dane.
I'll
research
cool about
that and get back to you.
You know what's cool about Norway? I mean, Denmark?
Mm.
In Copenhagen, they have an amusement park right in the middle of the fucking downtown.
As what every downtown should have an amusement park.
I know, right? When the Germans came in, during the Second World War, they were slowed down because a lot of their guys wanted to ride on the roller coaster.
I'm sure that's what it was.
How could you
talk about Japan though for just a hot minute?
Sure.
In 2008, a Japanese man discovered a homeless woman who had been living on the top shelf of his wardrobe after footage from a security camera revealed that she had been eating food from his refrigerator. I think it would be uncomfortable to be on top of someone's wardrobe, wouldn't you think?
I would think so. How would you like to be a policeman taking this report? You come in and it's like, well, was any jewelry missed? No. Well, what makes you think you have a burglar? Well, there was two pieces of bread and some sardines and some cheese missing. And I know it was there when I went to work. I mean, you know, your Rolex watch is there. Everything else is there. But two goddamn eggs are missing and you're calling the police.
Well, that, in fairness, Colonel, that could have been Logan.
That's true. That's true.
And if someone's eating sardines, they must be starving. So they should be free to nothing eat all the sardines they want.
You know, who eats that crap? Like hairy fish. Ugh.
Sardines? Sardines are like the greatest thing. You've never had sardines on some crackers?
Are you kidding? Did you just fucking ask that?
The mustard filled sardines on some crackers? Oh.
He's never done that. And I don't give a shit.
But I will tell you what sardines are the best thing in the world for. Just one of those the more you know moments. If you ever have to trap a raccoon, sardines are the bait you want to use. People always say peanut butter and marshmallows. No, 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 no. Sardines.
Wow.
Sardines will catch you a raccoon.
Don't care.
Well, you won't care when you get a raccoon infestation. You'd be calling me up, Colonel, why was it said you catch raccoons? Because I wasn't listening to you.
That will never happen.
It's fair to say that the people of Kyushu, it's a Japanese town. It's in western Japan. Have you ever been there, Colonel?
Kasai, I've been there.
Okay. I figure you're familiar with it.
Sleepy little town.
But all that changed the week when one of the residents noticed that food has been mysteriously disappearing from his refrigerator. I don't know if it was sardines, but something. You know, like Brandy's Pop-Tarts mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah, that was
one. You may have had someone frogging in your office, Brandy.
I could have. That's true.
Convinced that he was a victim of frequent burglaries, the 57-year-old resident installed security cameras that transmitted images from inside of his house directly to his mobile phone. Oh, that would be creepy as fuck looking at your camera and someone's walking around in your house.
Yes, that would be creepy.
You know, that reminds me of it reminds me of the movie Paranormal Activity. That movie scared the shit out of me the first time I watched it.
Why?
That is why, Timmy, everybody needs a Rudy. Yeah. Because you come into this house to try to get you some sardines or some Cheerios or, you know, even get into the good lunch meat. Rudy will tear you a new ass. Unless I let you in this house, Rudy will not let you in this house.
See, my cat would want to take. I'll show you where the food is.
But. Yeah, I'll show you, but I got no thumbs, motherfucker.
You got to let me out of here. You got to let me out of here if I show you where the food is.
So anyway, you never saw Paranormal Activity, Brandy? That's where you should do your What the Fuck Theater.
I've seen it.
There's only like four people in the whole movie.
Let me tell you something. I watched Llamageddon the other day. So
Llamageddon?
Llamageddon.
Are we gonna get a video?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it was just something else.
Well, you need to save that one for.
I'm saving it. Okay. I was.
No, my point is.
Could you get to your point?
The best part of Paranormal Activity. There's like Paranormal Activity 1.
Right.
2.
We're all familiar.
They're all the same movie, basically. But the best part, you know, like on horror movies where they bring in this paranormal
investigator.
Expert.
Yeah.
This motherfucker comes in the house and kind of looks around and then he says, I'm out of here.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, there's no advice.
It's like the werewolf owner says, nope, you got a real werewolf here. I usually just charge towns that, you know, don't got a wild coyote or some shit. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
All right. So anyway, the corporate.
The corporate, you know what, Timmy, that's what it is. The corporations are coming into our houses and stealing our food. That's how they keep us in a state of financial and food insecurity and control the world.
You don't look like you have any food insecurity there, Chuck.
Well, that's because I got Rudy.
The culprit was not, as it turned out, a highly skilled burglar.
What?
But
highly skilled what?
But a middle-aged homeless woman who had been living on the top shelf of his closet for several months. Because, Colonel, people don't think to look there.
Well, and I would argue...
How often do you dust at the top shelf of your...
I would argue that she was not, in fact, homeless.
She was not homeless, right. She was not.
She had a nice place.
There are some places that, you know, that I don't vacuum. I mean, person could live there. I never know.
Well, there's some places in our house I didn't even know we had.
Listen, and shit on the top shelf of your closet is on the top shelf of your closet for a reason. Like it's stuff you don't want to look at or deal with or whatever. It all goes up there.
Well, and you know, he probably seen it two or three times.
And then his little woman is living up there, huh?
Right. He probably saw it two or three times and was like, when did I get a little Japanese woman? Oh, well, fuck it. I guess it's supposed to be there.
Police arrested 58-year-old Tatsuki Horikawa.
Oh, my God.
On suspicion of trespassing. I don't know how
suspicion.
That wasn't even close. Tatsuko Horikawa.
Horikawa.
Anyway.
Tatsuko Horikawa.
On suspicion of trespassing, you can't fucking prove it.
But she was captured on film taking the owner's taking advantage of the owner's absence to move her tiny dwelling to the refrigerator and search for food.
Right, but if she doesn't he have to evict her? Wouldn't he have to go to court and have her evicted? because she's a squatter, she may be receiving mail there.
Okay, here's my question. All right,
you have to have two letters.
That's right.
she's getting into the food, right? And then he gets home. So let's say it's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Does this woman just not take a dump on the weekends? I mean, think about the logistics of that.
Well, listen, not everybody is us. There are people that go out on the weekends.
Not her. I mean, there's not her. She's on a goddamn shelf up on top of the closet.
I know, but what I'm saying is he probably leaves during the weekends and goes out and goes to the market and does all the things because he's run out of fucking food. And let me also say, sidebar, if I get in there and I've got something that I'm saving and I walk in there the next goddamn day and it's fucking gone, there's some shit going down. I don't care who fucking took it. I'm saving that goddamn
Brandy.
For a reason.
He could have used Instacart.
Brandy, sure. He may have played miniature golf on the weekend.
He could have. Anything. He could have been a ping pong champion. You don't know.
You know what they got over there in Japan that you would hate? Everybody in Tokyo has a tiny, tiny little house.
So anyway, police arrived expecting to find a burglar, but found the front door securely locked and the windows closed. That was baffling, wouldn't you think, Brandy? If you're looking,
I'm baffled.
They went there, so he was from the inside. The cops said, we searched the house, checking everywhere someone could possibly hide, adding that the woman may have used the residence and other houses in the area as makeshift sleeping quarters up to the previous year. We slid open the closet, and there she was, nervously curled up on her side, said the officer.
You know these froggers, Timmy, these froggers. You know, they had to be a bitch in school when you played hide and seek.
Well, here's what, you know, here's what you guys can't are
find
missing.
Them, nobody can find them. You got to get the dogs to sniff them out.
And they're all
Did you ever see the Monty Python movie where they were having an Olympic, they made hide and seek an Olympic sport?
Yes.
Well, it took the guy like 35, the first guy like 35 years to find it. And they, you know, they got the little referee there with the stopwatch.
Why is nobody?
So the next guy, and then the next guy goes, and you know he's hiding. And little referee, pushes the stop clock when he's found, and the little referee says, "We have a tie."
Okay, I think you all are missing the fact that as a 58-year-old woman, this chick was climbing to the top of a closet. Now. As a 48-year-old woman, I'm not climbing to the top of a hill. So I'm just saying, she was very, very nimble.
All right. Well, Brandy, not all froggers are innocent.
That's true.
Some of them can be quite sinister. Tina Bowen was convinced that the spirit of her dead mother was speaking to her through the walls of her home in Pepperell, Massachusetts. You ever been to Pepperell?
I couldn't handle Pepperell. That. My mother is a challenge enough while I'm alive. I'll be goddamn if I'm going to deal with her shit when she's dead. No, thank you.
So for weeks, this teenager received cryptic messages scribbled on the walls in condiments like ketchup. That'd be freaky as shit.
That would be scary as hell. Mm.
Yeah, and I didn't put this in the script, but her and her friends played Ouija board. And when they did, whenever they said spirit, you know, make yourself known or whatever.
The frog would be banging on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. For weeks, the teenagers received cryptic messages with condiments like ketchup. Items.
Now, did it happen to say if it was Heinz ketchup or Hunt's ketchup?
Oh, I'm sure it's Grey Poupon. What you think, Colonel?
Oh, okay.
I don't think Grey Poupon is a ketchup. But
it's not, but that's all right.
You know, and the other thing is, if you use Grey Poupon, somebody'd be like, oh, goddamn, the ghost is not only coming in here, but they're writing on the wall with their own feces. Because that's what that stuff looks like when it dries. If you ever get Grey Poupon on a shirt, You just want to change shirts. You can't pass the bright yellow mustard. You can say, "Oh, goddamn, I got mustard on my shirt."
Well, not Colonel, it is called
poop. That's what it looks like.
So
what it looks like.
All right. So anyway, items mysteriously rearranged themselves around the house. Full bottles of alcohol suddenly became empty.
Well, that's how you know you got brandy frogging in your house.
Then wow. On December 8th, one day after your birthday, Colonel.
Like I
December
wouldn't fill 8th, them with water. Like I'm so stupid.
On December 8th, 1986, Tina Bowen and her father returned home to find a chilling sight. A stranger in one of their closets with a painted face, a Native American style jacket, a ninja mask, and a hatchet in his hand.
See, that seems like there's a lot of appropriation going on.
It's a lot of overkill.
You know?
Yeah, it's going to have painted.
How do you know if the face was painted if they have a ninja mask?
Right.
But you can't mix a ninja mask with a Native American jacket.
What?
It clashes.
I don't even
know.
Is the Native American jacket the kind with all the fringe on it? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Oh, speaking of Oklahoma.
Absolutely, we're not.
Yeah.
We absolutely were not talking about Oklahoma. It says,
a surly with a fringe on top. Colonel, can you
surly with a fringe on top?
I was in Oklahoma, and I did not see that one. So I only saw it on opening night, and I was only half awake.
So what happened with this hatchet-wielding ninja with an Indian jacket on?
Well, before I answer that, Brandon, Colonel, can you give us a little Jimmy Buffett?
He doesn't know anything.
Yes, I will. Mother, I'll do this one for Thad. Mother Ocean, I've heard you call. Wanted to sail upon
Brandy's
your
face.
Waters. Since I was three feet tall. You seen it all. There you go. How's that, devil? Well, I done a bit of smuggling.
Hey, we got sound effects.
I
enjoyed that very much.
Yes. Sound effects from I Love Lucy.
Whatever. I'll take it. Go.
You know, Jimmy,
hey, these are the free sound effects that come with the software. I haven't bought it yet. So
going back to can we go back to the Japanese frog?
God damn it.
Timmy.
No.
Just for a minute.
Hold on, before we do, since we're Buster Booty, can you give me just a bad joke? Just a bad one-liner?
A bad one-liner?
Chuck's life. That's the joke. There you go.
That was my Mitch McConnell imitation.
Yes, it was. Again.
Anyway, can we go back to the Asian thing, Timmy? Because there's something... Leanne, I believe.
The Asian thing. I don't know what he's talking about.
I really believe that while you meeting Leanne has been a wonderful thing for your life, Timmy, it's been terrible for the show. I got to say, it's been terrible for the show.
Why is that, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, because I realize the devil and I can no longer make commentary on your dating life.
Sure we can.
Well,
and that was some of our best material because you lived a pretty colorful dating life prior to Leanne.
I remember when Brandy was borrowed my phone.
Oh, you No, I didn't borrow your phone. You handed it to me to watch Tupac do a virtual concert after he was dead.
The fuck.
And then had a hoo-ha pop up.
And then that's what happened. And then I felt I did not like that. I had to leave work. I had to leave work and go home and shower. Yeah, it's still not good.
It's
still a nightmare.
I just want to go on record. I did not request that.
And it was a mountain we didn't even recognize. didn't even know where it came from.
That's when OnlyFans was free.
So yes, I believe that is detracted. It's limit. It's taken away material that was just gold, Timmy. But
it's still there.
I know.
Inky?
You know what? I told a story about Inky the other day about how she wanted, you know, here's my address in case you want to send me a gift. Like, I was talking about her the other day.
And Timmy was so goddamn mad. Got to wear a raincoat, goggles. What the fuck is this?
There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. She was a squirter, yeah.
Timmy had never encountered one before, Thad. Ever.
Oh, he was ill-prepared. Mm.
I needed that mask. Like, what's the guy with the rain?
But see, you know what that's good for? It cleans your glasses, right?
Man of
you
the
can
sea
just get a towel.
Why are you wearing glasses down there?
Yeah, but you know that
that's one of those places you just
sea.
Feel your way around.
What's the tuna, you know, the commercial of the tuna of the sea and the little guy,
Charlie,
the raincoat on. The full...
Oh, God.
So basically what you're saying is.
I think it's the fish sticks. What is it? It's not the tuna. It's a fish stick guy.
Star-kissed tuna?
No. Like the chicken of the sea, all the things. And he wore a raincoat underwater.
I'm just saying.
Essentially what Timmy was doing.
Someone.
You're just saying there should be a warning label on that, Timmy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so.
Yeah, and then she left me the letter to.
Yeah.
If I wanted to send her a gift.
It was a banner day for us when that happened. It was a banner day.
I'm completely the uncoolest person on this.
Gordon's.
Podcast.
It was Gordon's fish sticks, Timmy. The captain of
the Gordon Fisherman. Yeah.
Had the big yellow raincoat and a hat.
Yeah.
That's
what I needed.
All right. So the stranger forced
Timmy
you
was offended.
Like her, you
the funny thing
like
was
her.
How offended Timmy was when he came in and.
She wants me to send her a fucking present? What the fuck am I going to send her? Fucking bullshit.
Almost blinded me. Goddamn, what is that?
Oh, it was amazing.
And you guys used to be on me about Dirty Diana, too.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah. Timmy was keeping a canteen full while she was in lockup.
And she was in
rehab. He was putting money in her commissary. Or jail. Those were her choices.
In a cell is rehab. Timmy, that was her version of that.
But Timmy filled her commissary, so
she had the ankle bracelet.
Ramen noodles to trade. It was amazing.
Let's get back.
We talk all the time about the Colonel's book. I feel like
Timmy, and I think, you know, there's one thing, and I don't want to be too crass, but you don't want to the combination of. For what they call women who have that particular skill, squirters. If you add the Mickey Mantle of cunnilingus, you're going to have a goddamn hurricane on your hands. And Timmy was unaware of this, right? So he, Timmy does what Timmy does.
Lil Nasty does what Lil Nasty does.
And, I know.
Next thing you know, the neighbors below are like banging on the ceiling, like, "Hey, you left your bathtub on," you know. So
gross.
It was, man. I'm telling you, that was a weird time.
Yeah,
I'm sure it happens to everybody right after they get divorced.
Sure.
We
were right there with you, Tim. But the thing is, what I would have cautioned you about was Chuck and I are probably the last people you ever want to tell that stuff to. And so that's on you. The fact that this is coming out now is on you. But if you can read last two sentences, then we can move forward. As again, my heart stop is new.
Okay, the stranger is this is a guy in their closet
with
a
ninja mask
and a hatchet. The stranger forced the Bowens into the bedroom before running off to another part of the home. Tina used that opportunity to escape and call the police. That was a pretty good move.
She left her dad.
It was a good move on her part, but I feel like that was a pretty dumb move on his part. If you're a burglar and you're wanting to not get caught, and I guess, you know, he'd been conditioned to, I can go to any part of the house and they can't find me. I've been here for, 11 years.
Well, he's a ninja.
Yeah. So, but you don't want to just run off to another part of the house because they show up with dogs sometimes.
You'll get dogs.
No matter how good you are at hide and seek, the dogs will find you. And here's something I had to note to someone the other day. You nary see a police brutality charge against a dog. They will get you and they will chew your ass up and everybody's fine with it. They don't care. Because that's what dogs do.
I always, when I'm watching this stuff and they bring out the dogs and they're like, you're going to get, you know, come out or you're going to get dog bit. My first thought is, as opposed to what, human bit, raccoon bit, like, you're going to get dog bit. Oh, good. Well, there is that, but, you know, it'd be a badger. Badger could bite him.
It's that moment
you in between. Badger bit.
Before, but it's that moment in between when the cop says, I'm bringing out the dog, and the guy actually responds. You know, he's like weighing his options.
Yeah. Now, this is a true story. I got to tell you.
God damn it.
When I was in college, I started working for LaRose as a local pizzeria place here when I was about 13 years old. So by the time I'm 19, I got, you know, I'm one of the managers. I got keys. Well, I lived the closest. So, you know, this is back in the days with the first alarms, and they were a little quirky. They go off sometimes for no reason. So I lived the closest. They would call me. And I would go up, and the police would be there, and they would look around, and they'd say, could you open the door for us? Well, this particular time, because it was an older building, someone had knocked a hole in the side of the building. You know, it was a wooden building, so they tore a hole through it. And the policeman saw the hole, and he said, you know, let's just wait here. And he called in the canine unit. So the canine unit comes, asks me to unlock the door. I do. And the policeman says, whoever you are, yell your name very loudly, or I'm releasing the dog. I'm giving you to the count of three. 3, 2, 1. And he had released the dog. Now, the dog found I won't name him, but he was actually a friend of mine. We all knew each other. He was a guy from the neighborhood. And he thought, much like a Frogger, he could hide underneath a booth. Well, where you don't want to be when the dog finds you is underneath a booth, because the dog's standing up and you're laying down. Well, he decided that he could just kick the dog and keep him from getting under the booth. So he's kicking at the dog, and finally the dog gets past his leg, gets about his head and shoulders, and just keeps biting on him. They had to take him away in an ambulance. And he did about 8 months in jail for this. So later on, a couple years, I ran into him, and I was like, Joe, what the hell was you thinking? They told you they was releasing the dogs. And he's like, I didn't think the dog would find me. I was hitting people good. He said, but I'm going to tell you this. People think I'm lying, but I swear to God, it was dark. When that dog got under the table with me, his eyes glowed red like the devil. But the true story, the police did not arrest him. They had to call an ambulance to take him away, take him to the hospital. He got over 100 stitches from this dog because if you keep fighting, they're going to keep biting. You know, that's what they do.
Sure.
And he just kept fighting the dog, and the dog just kept taking big chunks out of him. And his take from that night would have been the $75 that we kept for change for the next day. So,
yeah, wasn't a good move.
Nah, he wasn't the smartest criminal in the world, but he was a good guy.
That's the longest story. Are you done?
I'm just saying, when they say, 3, 2, no, just yell your name as loud as you can and say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out.
That's an amazing story. So authorities arrived and found that the stranger was a teenager named David LaPlante, whom Tina had briefly dated. And he'd been living in the family's crawl space for several weeks, taunting them all the while. Okay, is his name David or Daniel?
No, I'm sorry. It's Daniel LaPlante.
Okay. So Daniel LaPlante was born May 15, 1970 in Townsend, Massachusetts. And he allegedly suffered traumatic sexual and psychological abuse during his childhood at the hands of his father, and then as a teen, at the hands of his psychiatrist. God, people suck.
Well, that's just, how's that? You know, you get
it
abused.
It is Daniel LaPlante.
You get abused, so you go to see a psychiatrist.
And the psychiatrist and abuses you. It's fucking, yeah, whatever.
That's a fucked up thing.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a split personality from it. He's David and Daniel. So he's,
yeah, split personality.
Look up Daniel LaPlante. He looks like a fucking psycho.
LaPlante's environment was no less chaotic. His family's house and surrounding.
I'm serious.
Okay, I'm reading right now, so I'm not going to do that. But his family's house and surrounding grounds were reportedly a mass of junk and old cars. LaPlante attended St. Bernard's High School in Fitchburg, where he was described by students and faculty as a loner and not particularly friendly. By the 1980s, a neighbor had grown concerned over LaPlante's many solo excursions into the woods behind his home. According to the Boston Globe, quote, you'd see him walk out there by himself. That's the only place you would see him, in the woods, end quote. Diagnosed with...
And let me just say real quick, I did look him up, what he looks like. He looks like every dude from the 70s. Oh. Every dude in the 70s looked like that.
Well,
you all look like serial killers. Yes. Or froggers.
Yes. Diagnosed with hyper...
Fucking froggers. I don't like froggers. They're kind of like hobos.
They are.
Yeah, but you love a good hobo.
I want to go to hobo convention, but I can't this year because we had to go to England. And it's happening this... it happened last week.
Ugh. Diagnosed with hyperactivity...
Dad, would you like to go to a hobo convention with me in Iowa?
I would go to one in England. I feel like the hobos in England would be more polite.
You barely leave the
A little classier.
So,
American hobos can be very rude.
They are. They are. They're.
You talk about someone who eats sardines, Colonel.
Yeah. Mm. And Carl Panzram found out the hard way about American hobos. They're not the friendly, you know, sit around the fire, tell stories type people that you would think they were.
Because what happened to him, Colonel?
Well, were it not for hobos, Carl Panzram may have become an upstanding member of society, but he jumped on the train with 12 or jumped in a train car with 12 hobos, and they took advantage of 12-year-old Carl, and they turned him into a just complete psycho killer. So
fucking hobos,
all right,
goddamn hobos.
You know what I've always been fascinated by is I don't know what was it called, the hobo code.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like the language.
What they draw on houses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they'll say a dishonest man lives here, or they've got money. Yeah,
they'll help you.
Yeah.
They had
a symbol for a dog.
They'll let you sleep with your sister.
Yeah.
The wife's a squirter. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. You can stay here, but whatever you do, don't sleep with my daughter.
Have anything else?
Are we done?
You know, when a hobo dies, they get in a circle and they all drink from a bottle of Ripple.
Mm-hmm. It's a hobo funeral.
Or some cheap.
It's called the hobo drink. Goodbye.
Is it?
When you think about that, Brandy.
Now, Brandy, could you continue the story for us, please? This was fascinating stuff. And if you could just stick to the topic, we would appreciate it.
She has a hard time sticking to the topic.
Yes.
Diagnosed with hyperactivity disorder, Chuck can go fuck himself, by the psychiatrist who allegedly sexually abused him, LaPlante became a neighborhood thief by 15.
Hold on. Okay. Oh, so he's diagnosed with hyperactivity disorder by the psychiatrist who sexually abused him. Is this because he tried to run away every time the psychiatrist was trying to bugger the poor little guy? I mean, of course he's hyperactive. He's beating on the goddamn door. Let me out of here. I mean,
first time that happens, you should claim that you're cured, right?
Like, yeah. I'm much better now.
I got insight.
Yeah, I'm much better now.
I have this tremendous insight now. Thank you. I won't be coming to next week's session.
Exactly. It's
Oh, oh, okay.
Continue, Devil.
Thanks.
Fascinate us. Regale us more with this tale, Devil.
I'd love to, but it's Timmy's writing, so I'm going to do the best I can. let's see. He broke into Townsend's homes during the evening, stole occupants' valuables, and then he graduated to mind games. I don't know if that's the natural progression, but okay. It was clear to the police.
You keep on playing those mind games forever.
Sing it, girl.
It was clear to the police that LaPlante had been living in the Bowens home for weeks. Following his arrest at the Bowden home, LaPlante was held in a juvenile facility until October of 1987, when his mother remortgaged her house, ensuring his $10,000 bail. 2 months later...
I just want to point out David LaPlante. He's from... he has a...
his name's Daniel.
His family... Or Daniel LaPlante.
Fuck me.
He had... his family was from France. And they were named... They said... What are you going to, what name you want? And he said, oh, I don't know. Name me after the plant there. So LaPlante.
LaPlante.
That's an amazing made up story.
No, stop. Oh my God.
You know what could have been the worst possible outcome is David has a serious accident, goes into a coma, right? For a long time. And then the nurse has to go say, I have to go check in on LaPlante. And everybody would think
she had to water
LaPlante.
Wait a minute,
everybody would think she was just such an asshole.
Hold on, you stupid fuckers. The boy's name is Daniel. Stop calling him David.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't.
But they weren't calling David. They'd say, I got to go check on LaPlante. Well, I got to make sure LaPlante's getting sunlight. Go read. Go talk. You know, go talk to LaPlante.
But that didn't happen, you know, so we're good.
Because plants are supposed to do well when you talk to them and then, you know, grow.
Yes, they are.
So what I'm trying to do is tie in. You might not be getting.
You're
this.
Not tying in anything.
You're trying
You're
to tie in
annoying
Indian
the
in a vegetative
me.
State. I got to get to work.
While awaiting trial, fuck you. While awaiting trial, LaPlante moved home and continued his daytime burglary spree. On October 14th.
Oh, yeah, there was no need to stop. I mean, he's out on bail.
He's only good at a couple things.
You would think that would have been a condition of his bail, though.
No burglary. See,
no
that
crying.
Is legal oversight, Timmy.
No crime.
That's why our justice system is so jacked up.
On October 14th, 1987, he stole two .22 caliber firearms from a neighboring house. On November 16th, 1987, LaPlante burglarized the home of the Gustafson family.
Yeah.
Which included pregnant nursery school teacher Priscilla Gustafson, her husband Andrew, and their two children. 5-year-old William and 7-year-old Abigail. But this wouldn't be the last time LaPlante broke into their home. On December 1st, 1987, LaPlante walked through the woods separating his house from the Gustafsons, armed with a .22 caliber firearm. He later claimed that he didn't expect Priscilla and her children to come home. What happened next is every family's worst nightmare. According to retired Pepperdine Lieutenant Thomas Lane, LaPlante considered jumping out of the window and escaping. Instead, he confronted Priscilla with a gun and led her and her son to the bedroom, putting William in the closet and tying Priscilla to the bed using makeshift ligatures and gagging her with one of his socks.
Okay, hold on. What did he do with the other sock? Is the guy just walking around with one sock here? Because... that just looked ridiculous.
But the officer name was Tommy Lane.
Yeah.
After
I didn't even know she lived in Massachusetts.
Okay. After raping Priscilla, LaPlante shot her twice in the head. He then took William into the bathroom and drowned him. As he was leaving, he encountered Abigail Gustafson, who was returning home on the school bus. He lured Abigail into another bathroom where he drowned her as well. Then LaPlante simply returned home and attended one of his niece's birthday parties that evening.
This seems like he's escalated from frogging.
Looks like he has also. the next sentence, the police, which police is capitalized, so I feel like Sting is somehow involved, began an investigation the same evening after Priscilla's husband came home to the grisly scene. With the scent of the shirt, the dogs tracked through the woods to within within 3 to 4 feet of LaPlante's home. After the Gustafson murders, LaPlante was interrogated. Lacking enough evidence to arrest him there, police planned to return the following day, but LaPlante fled and a massive manhunt ensued. After another burglary spree in Pepperell, LaPlante was found hiding in a dumpster and arrested on the evening of December 3rd, 1987. He went on trial for the Gustafson murders in October of 1988, and a jury found him guilty of murder.
I think this is part of the Frogger code, Timmy, is they tell you, for God's sake, whatever you do, don't kill anybody in the house, because that's going to blow up the whole gig.
Yeah, it's going to give Frogger's a bad name.
Yeah, you can stay in there indefinitely until you kill somebody. Then they're going to bring the dogs in, and, you know, the gig's up for you.
All right, Chuck, can you tell us about Pamela Anderson? Well, I mean, as it relates to this story.
Actress, model, and one-time lover of mine, to me. Pamela Anderson, a Baywatch fame. Well, you know, she almost stalked me a little bit, but was certainly no stranger to being the object of many people's desires, Timmy. But one fan took it to a disturbing level in 2001 when she moved into Anderson's Malibu guest house, Barbie Malibu guest house, without the star's knowledge, and donned her iconic swimsuit, Timmy. Now, yes, there are some things that just should be off limits to people, and one of them is Pamela's iconic swimsuit.
I agree.
Now, Anderson was at the height of her Baywatch fame when she suddenly noticed an unfamiliar face in the window of a guest house, which, to her knowledge, had been unoccupied. But there she was, a homeless woman, living in Anderson's residence, wearing one of her red swimsuits from the famous television series. She had a letter that said, "I'm not a lesbian. I just want to touch you." Now, see, those are two contradictory statements, I believe.
Well, I mean, you know.
You know what, though? We don't need to live in an age of labels, right? Like, let's just leave labels off the table.
She's the one who self-proclaimed she wasn't a lesbian. I'm just saying I challenged that statement. So, anyway, Anderson recalled of the terrifying event. "She got my bathing suit out of my room. I was there alone with two babies, and I remember seeing a face in a window. Isn't it the scariest thing he can think of?" Well, no, actually, the scariest thing I can think of is waking up with Carl Panzram over my bed. But anyway,
I think being married to Tommy Lee probably is way up there, too.
Yeah, it ranks up there.
How about me and married to Clint Howard? How awful do you think that would be?
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah.
Well, but you know, General Ben was a very underrated TV show.
Oh, I love General Ben.
Yeah. It was about a bear.
No.
Before your time, Brandy.
Yeah.
Hey, granted, he wasn't a monkey, Timmy. Nobody for the best shows, you need a good monkey.
Do you think Clint?
You know, Tales of the Gold Monkey was a good show.
BJ and the Bear was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Do you think that Clint Howard and Ronnie Howard had some jealousy going on? You think he was jealous of Ronnie Howard?
You know, I think that's what drove, because when they were kids, I think I read this, Clint used to beat Ron Howard in badminton all the time, to me.
Really?
And he would mock him. And Clint was very mean, and he wouldn't call Ron by his name. He just called him Little Ginger Bastard. So that drove Ron Howard to just have to be successful, Timmy.
Well, you know, he lost his virginity to Aunt B.
I know. That was. But you know,
from William Howard.
No. Ron. She said, "Hey, Ronnie. Hey, little Ronnie. You want to come to my trailer?"
Yeah. It's like I got some pie in here, Ronnie, and it was not what he was expecting.
Dude, yeah. That's so gross. Leave Aunt B alone.
Oh, Aunt B was a horn dog. Have you ever read the book by Barney Fife?
You know,
Barney Fife, my life.
Who is good friends, family friends with Nina?
Yep.
But Nina's family is good friends with Barney Fife. Not Barney, but Don Knox.
You know, he was one of the most underrated actors. I always believed that Don Knotts would have made a good Michael Corleone in the Godfather series.
He would have.
What was
Mike Richards?
What was the Don Knotts fish movie?
Seinfeld.
Where he the Incredible Mr. Limpet. I loved that movie when I was a kid.
And he had the other one was Haunted House.
Haunted House was
good. What was the name of that? The Ghost and
Mr. Chicken. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
I think that was The Devil and Mrs. Jones, Timmy, you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
That was a classic, too, though.
Ron Howard.
Can you give us a little bit of that, Mrs. Jones?
No.
How could they
not pick up that he had a lips in that? How could that get to production?
I have no idea. Maybe they just thought, you know what, just roll with it. Go with it.
Maybe they already
just working. And they're like, what the
fuck?
And I think he did it so fast. But back then, there was so much cocaine, Timmy, nobody was really paying attention. So
me and Mr. Jones, they got a thing going on.
Eddie Murphy singing, Buckwheat singing a song.
Yeah, that's all we have left.
Well, so anyway, Pamela Anderson's thinking, this is the scariest goddamn thing I ever seen, and I seen Tommy Lee's penis. So she called security, but they were unable to find the frogging homeless woman. And again, that's a contradictory phrase because she had a nice home, Pamela Anderson's guest home. Yeah,
you know, I'm guessing that's not the first time she's got a letter that says, I'm not a lesbian, but I want to touch you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably happened quite often in Baywatch days. Now
I bet she got a lot of those letters that said, when I think about you, I touch myself. Oh, but remember that one?
I just thought of, and I don't know if you read this, Colonel, because I blacked out there. But eventually police came and arrested the woman, and they managed to remove the swimsuit and asked Pamela if she wanted it back. And she said,
yeah, no good.
And she said, no,
I'm good.
I just thought of why you would not want that back, and yeah, ooh,
gross.
Yeah. Well, you know, a cop held on to that. You know he did. Well, and then you got to decide: is this Pamela Anderson's scent that I is on right. here?
Well, you really what you have to do. What I do is, Timmy, I'd separate them by 200 yards. I call in the dogs. I have the dog sniff the swimsuit. And wherever the dog headed, if it ran to Pamela Sue Anderson, I'd throw up my trunk. I'd keep it forever. But if it ran to the frogging little gnome, I'd just say, you know what? Burn it with fire. Be done with it.
Be done with it.
Although, you know, chlorine can hide a lot of sins from a women's bathing suit.
That's true.
It can cover a lot of sins.
So, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on the act of frogging?
I don't know. I couldn't even form a thought because the two of you never shut the fuck up. So, I'm against frogging.
I'm not altogether certain your cognitive abilities are...
Settle down, Snoop Dogg.
I'm not altogether sure your cognitive abilities are impaired by Timmy and I think it goes deeper than that.
You guys can drag
I just want to say I enjoy the irony of him trying to say cognitive abilities over and over and over again. That's really good.
I just want to add one thing, and I don't like to be critical.
Colonel knows himself.
Because I have, for years, Timmy, I edited the show. I released the show. And then we brought in Thad Fatima. Now, in the whole time that I was doing this, Timmy, did I ever have one show where I said, I don't think the sound quality is up to par?
Yes.
No, I did not. Released that big turd and threw it out there for the public. But fans are like, oh, no, I don't think this meets standards. So we're going to have to record it again. It's like, you know what it's like to me? It's like being in a goddamn movie with Martin Scorsese being the director. No, we're going to have to do that one again. We're going to have to do that one again. Do it again.
Wait a minute. So Thad wants to put out a quality product for us, whereas you didn't give a shit and just put out whatever bullshit you could put together real quick.
Whatever I could cobble together. There was no editing.
Yeah.
It was dweebs in the raw when I did it, Devil.
Well, let's not go crazy. But anyway, so
can
I'm against
these tracks. Can you? I don't fucking care. Just put it out there.
Yeah, hey, Colonel, what's your final thought on frogging?
Well, to me, it's given me, should I ever find myself with someone telling me I am no longer welcome in my residence.
Which could happen.
Which could happen at any given moment, on any given day. I don't have to go through Craigslist and whatever and look for an apartment. I just have to look for an old person who keeps the pantry stocked, Timmy.
Colonel, was Mrs. Colonel disappointed when she got back from her trip and you were still there?
She was, I don't know if she even noticed I was here. She just ran straight to the dogs. So, kept the house protected.
How did the cleaning blitzkrieg go the couple of hours before she arrived?
Thad, I keep my house, my domicile, pretty much clean all the time. There was a couple boxes of, a couple empty things of, cookie boxes and whatnot. But it was basically pretty clean. Because here's the thing. I keep my house very clean all the time.
Yeah, I understand.
Because I don't want a frogger judging me. If they come into my house, I want a frogger coming in thinking it's a nice clean house.
Would that be the ultimate smack in the face? A homeless woman saying, "Hey, your house is kind of dirty."
Yeah,
I would. Or saying, "I can't live here.
I can't live in this shit. Yeah.
I just can't live in that." And now I don't believe I could bear that, Thad. So I keep my house.
It'd be too much.
Spotless, yeah.
But maybe, right. maybe they would
Thad,
steal your swimsuit.
Your, and Thad, what's your final thoughts on frozen?
I feel like I've had that feeling before where I'll be laying in bed at night and I'm like, what's that sound in the attic?
That's what happened on Paranormal Activity too.
So you go, is there something up there? And then you think, you know what? Ignorance is bliss. Fuck it. If someone's up there, just let him be up there. As long as they just eat Melissa's food, that's fine. They don't touch mine, then we're cool.
See, right? That's why it's good to have a pet in the house, because then if you hear a noise, you can say, "Oh, it's probably the cat."
Well, that's true, but and that's the thing. But as far as a guard dog goes, and we always say this, Dash is a good boy, but he's a terrible dog. He is the worst dog ever. I mean, someone could kick in the door and he would just be, "Hello, let me lick your face." He's a lab. Yeah.
Dash had a birthday yesterday.
He turned 8 years old. My good boy. Yep.
See, that's like 18 in people years.
Yeah.
I have the best of both worlds. I have the pre-warning system in Bo. Bo will let me know that an Amazon delivery has been made three doors up. And this sumbitch might be coming back to kill us all. And I have Rudy, who just sits on the couch and waits for the front door to, and this is a true story. People that Rudy, even if the people Rudy knows that they're familiar with, Rudy will not let them in the house until someone from the residence comes up and says, it's okay, Rudy. And then he'll be very happy and very gentle and very, you know, he's very playful. But if he thinks that, well, they don't know you're coming, he will stand at the door, show his teeth and say, hey, like basically like Clint Eastwood in one of the old spaghetti westerns. So just stay you there. Exactly. Showing those canines because he's half German Shepherd.
So I think we've heard enough of Chuck today.
Let me just recommend to all of our listeners out there, if you think you have a Frogger in your house, here's what I would do. I would get some tin cans and put some rope between them and put them on the door. And then if you hear a noise, that's it.
Why can Timmy never line up his fucking camera? I don't understand.
You look at Jesus meme.
And, I saw that.
Yeah. I got that shirt.
I think the best thing to do, though, really, Timmy, is if you're going to go high tech like you are, we have heat-seeking cameras in our house, Timmy.
Oh, I see.
Froggers can't beat those until they die.
But you know what you should do if you're a Frogger, just to thank the people for giving you a place to go, is to go to Etsy, to Black Cat and Me, and order some nice home accoutrements. And if you put Dream15 in the search, you can get 15% off. Because obviously, you're homeless, so you could use the savings. So Black Cat and Me.
The other thing is, Timmy, I hope all the men that listen to this, when, you know, whoever you cohabitate with says, did you leave this here? You just look up and you say, oh, holy fuck, I think we got a Frogger. I didn't leave that glass there.
We would like to thank all of our listeners who listen to podcasts and support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or what, Colonel?
Or you can just give the tip to me, just a wee little bit.
All right, here we go. Here are some of our contributors. Wool Hat, who just had a birthday.
Happy birthday, Wool Hat.
Christina Harmeyer.
Hi, Brandy.
Stevie Smiles. Stevie.
Smile.
Elizabeth Lawrence. Kim Purple and Baby Sam.
Yeah.
Emily. Alan Cox. Aaron Kunkmoller. Did I spell it right?
Kunkmoller.
Okay. Rachel Goss. Anna Kaufman. Shelby Pigley. Sorry, guys, if I'm messing up your name. Robert Benefil.
Shelby Pileggi.
Okay. Gina Green. Andrea. Louise Sidens. Tessie Alcorn Poor. Buffy. Danielle Townsend. Marianne Knight. The Already Gone podcast with our good friend Nina Enstead, who's in Michigan this weekend. Didn't invite us to go along, Colonel. But
she didn't, but I think she's on a gummy run, Timmy.
You think so?
Yeah,
might be. Amber Anderson, Ben Drovich, who, by the way, is he the commissioner for fantasy football this year? Well, for the Dweebs?
I believe that he is.
Okay, he always does a good job.
The returning commissioner.
Mm-hmm. The returning commissioner, yeah.
Bridget Bernard, Casey Kitchens, Kelly Jones, Colonel Kelly Jones.
Me and Kelly Jones.
Our good friend, Christy Lee, in the Canadian True Crime Podcast. Carl, Cheryl LeBlanc. Our good friends, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, who will be here for DweebCon in a couple of weeks.
I love me some Clark and Diane.
Yeah. Little did it about Clark and Diane.
Did he? By talking to him.
You know, they're just two American kids. They're
doing the best they can.
That's right.
Yeah. Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner,
Marsha Boris, J. Cleveland Payne, our good friend J. Cleveland Payne, Jamie Dent, Hiro,
woo-woo.
Jason Dykes up there, part of the Austin Mafia, Jeff and Don Chestnut. Haven't heard from Jeff for a while. Hope he's doing okay.
Dr. Jeff is doing well.
Jennifer,
he's still married to Don, so.
Yeah, he married up.
He did.
Jennifer Alcott, Jennifer Sabota, and Jess. Thank you all for supporting us through Patreon. Oh,
we appreciate it, Greg.
I'm sorry I left them off. Kelly Charette. Kim Strope, Christine Malakinski, Laura O'Reilly, Marie, Mary Courtney Sheldon, Michelle Johns, who will be here for DweebCon, and her sister, Colonel. What do you think about that?
I have
the Johns girls.
The Johns girls. And you know what? They both read the book, didn't they? They both read the book.
There we go.
Michelle sent me a message, said, we're going to see if this book was written by you or ghostwritten. I don't know what that means, but.
Paula Kimes, Sarah Bloom, Sue Van Hook, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, Stephen Potts, Terry Stratford, our good friend Ben and Rosanna with the They Walk Among Us podcast. They Walk Among Us UK, and They Walk Among Us here in America. Tyrone, Todd Jones, I'm sorry, Todd Long, Tommy Lane, who was also the police officer in this one of these frogging stories, and Tracy Smith. Thank you all for supporting us.
Thank you all very much.
Patreon, if you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you give a lot, or Colonel.
Or just, you can give the whole thing to me. There you go. Or just a little bit. Just a little bit.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everyone, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.